So I was excited. We didn't know what to expect. We came here, and when we came in and we heard the old songs of Zion, I cut my eye teeth, and so did my wife, on the songs that are sung in this sanctuary. And we thank you for that. I feel right at home. My wife feels right at home. And I want to thank today Pastor Lynn and Sister Sherry for having a vision 13 years ago for founding a church that you and I can come together and we can worship and we can feel like a body of Christ and we can feel like we're winners in God. Hallelujah. You don't have to get left behind just because you get old. And you know, I know things change, don't they? Of course they do. And we don't mind them changing, but give us a little niche, right? And this is our niche. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm happy where I am, and I'm thankful to God that we found you folks. But it wasn't an accident. And I believe, as you're going to find out as we read in the scripture today, the Bible says the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord, aren't they? When we give God our life, I believe God gives us direction. Sometimes we're ignorant to what's going on until it's already happened. And so when we found that paper and we came here, your pastor and his wife so cordially invited us in here and have been so gracious to us. When about a year and a half ago, my wife and I both contracted COVID-19. I spent 9 days in the hospital out here on 380. My wife spent 7 days. They wouldn't allow people to come and see us. But Pastor Lynn constantly called to see about us. That's all they could do. And when Christmas rolled around, y'all came by in the church bus, sang carols at our home. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It means so much to us. Anyway, Pastor, I know that y'all are watching, and if you're not, you should be. Thank you for being a wonderful pastor, aren't they? Yeah. Let's give them a hand. Hallelujah. Now, I love that song, and I felt it. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place today. Now I told myself before I came this morning, I wasn't going to get too excited, because in my younger days, I'm a pretty excited preacher. I really was. I really was the excited kind, and I'm a motivational type, but I'm going to try to keep it down low-key this morning. And so far I have, haven't I? Isn't it wonderful to come to the house of God and be with people that you feel comfortable with? And I think all of you, don't you feel kind of like you fit here? If you don't, tell us why. We want you to, right? Okay, brother, would you give us the first part? Because I want to read a scripture for you. I think this fits us. I have been young. I'm not anymore. And now I'm old. But I've got a proclamation to make. I've got something I'd like to say this morning. I want you to understand that there's a space of life. I was young. I'm not any longer. But there's something that's positive that I can hang my hat on. I can take the check to the bank. I can tell you this. I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I am righteous. Not because of me, nothing I've done, But because of what Jesus Christ, the righteous, has done, He made me righteous today. Praise God. So today I'm going to share with you, or ask you, a big question. All of you that came this morning, I want to ask you, how are you today? How are you? Some of you came and you had some problems, and some of you didn't. Some of you came, you was already on the mountaintop. But what if you got a brother or sister here today that came and they were carrying a burden? Somebody here that they're not on the real up there with us, and they need help. We want to help them, don't we? We want to encourage them. Several years ago when I was pastoring, I used to always do what Pastor Lynn does. After service was over, I would go into the front door of the church, and as people left, I would greet them and tell them thank you for coming to church. On this particular Sunday morning, one of the ladies was getting ready to leave. I shook her hand and I said, "How are you today?" And she said, "I'm fine." I didn't let her hand go. And she, you know, I said, "How are you today?" And she looked at me, and tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, "I'm not doing too good, Pastor." And I said, "I knew you weren't." I said, "But I've been praying for you. I want you to know Jesus is still on your side." She had gone through a very difficult time in her life. She was in her 30s and she had lost her husband. She had two children. And I know it was hard on her. But I wanted her to know that somebody was praying for her. Somebody was there to help her. If you're here today and you're struggling or you're having a heartache, I want you to know you've got a group of people. You've got a God that cares for you. You've got a God that wants to help you. And that's my message to us today, is how are you really today? Are you letting God be God? Are you letting God really help you? Or are you trying to work through things yourself? I want you to know, and I pray before you leave here today, that you've decided that, hey, I think God is still on my side. I think God will still help me no matter what my situation is. David, in the scripture, of course, it was David that was speaking to us. And he was looking back over the landscape of his life, and he was saying, no matter where I am, I believe God has always provided for me. It was like Israel, when they were in the wilderness, the manna was always there. When Elijah was in the caves, the ravens came, they provided for him. If you and I went to a well and we stood beside the shaft and we dropped a pebble in it and we listened, we waited to hear it splash at the bottom. We stood there and waited and waited and waited, and we never heard it get to the bottom. That's how the provisions of God are. You cannot exhaust them. They're so vast and they're so great. No matter what your need is today, I want you to know we're serving a great big God. So my question is, how are you today? I pray that when you leave here, you say, "I'm better than before I came." Well, what I want you to know is that David said, "I was young." How many of us, by show of hand, will say that? Five people. "I was young." Five of us. Thank you. "I was young." In 1956, well, let me rephrase this. I believe there's two kinds of sermons. I believe there's academic and testimonial. Academic takes the scripture, it begins to dissect it and give you references and tell you this means this, this means that. Testimonial is giving you insights on how things have affected people's lives. My sermon this morning is testimonial. okay? I'm not going to give you a whole lot of academics. I'm going to give you some testimonials, if that's okay. In 1956, I was 10 years old. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? 10 years old. At our home, we had a 19-inch black and white TV. We had a three-party line telephone. Anybody know what that is? That means your neighbors can listen when you're talking. Yeah, and they did, didn't they? And I know they did because I did. Sure did. So I was 10 years old. These were part of our life. And I was going to a little school, a county school, that only went to the 8th grade. And in this school, on this particular day, it was in October or November of 1956. I don't remember the month. But our school was going to do something that would be unprecedented today. We all got to school, and they took, I know the fourth and fifth grade, I don't remember how many grades, but they loaded us up in the bus, and they took us downtown Abilene. And in downtown Abilene, back then, it was where everything happened. They didn't have malls. That's where all the commerce was. And so here we were going down there, and we were going to a theater. They had the Linda, the Texas, the Majestic, the Paramount. I was used to the Linda and the Texas. That's where you paid a nickel to go watch Roy Rogers and Gene Autry. The Paramount's where you paid 50 cents, and I don't know what you watched. I never could afford it. But today, the buses rolled up, and we went inside. I don't know if the school paid for it or somebody else, but we went inside, and as a young fifth grader, we sat down. I sat in the balcony. That's where our group was. And for 3.5 hours, we watched a Cecil B. DeMille film. And I watched something, because I was young, it made an impact on my life. I watched as Israel went into slavery. I watched as they stayed there for a while. But you know what? What I remember the most, I remember a bearded man who stood beside the Red Sea, and he raised a rod. And because he did what God said, God separated a Red Sea, and the children of Israel were released from the bondage they had been in. And they went across on dry ground, and the enemy was left behind, and they came into that sea, and God destroyed them. I was 10 years old. Today I'm 76. I still remember it vividly. I was young, but it was an impact on my life. You remember, it didn't matter it was Cecil B. DeMille. It was God touching a 10-year-old's life. See what God can do. I'm telling you that there are those here today. Maybe you're dealing with a Red Sea experience in your life, and God wants to separate it for you. God wants to move something in your life so that you can see He really can do those things. Hallelujah. Told you I can get excited. 10 years old. Some of you can remember some things happened in your lives, can't you? Well, I'm going ahead 9 years after that. I went to a Pentecostal church. And after that, on June the 3rd, 1965, prior to that, I had been working in an endless job, miserable, no sight in nothing that looked like it was any future whatsoever. So I decided to go to that church that night. And that night, I went to an altar, and I found my Red Sea part. I found that, hey, things can change. You can give God your life, and He can turn everything around. And He did for me. Here I was, a boy from 10P Lane. And if you don't know where that is, you're most like most people. It was the wrong side of the tracks. But God can put you on the right side of the tracks, can't He? So here I am. I'm young. I once was young. And I didn't know what to do with my life. God takes and changes our lives. All you've got to do, and all I'm trying to share with you this morning, folks, is that when we were young, we gave our lives to God. It did not exempt us from having difficulties. David was saying, I once was young. I'm not telling you that I didn't have problems. I'm not telling you that afterwards I didn't have difficulties or things that would challenge me. You that are considering yourselves in pretty good shape today, how many of you have had challenges in your life while you've served God? Anybody? Does that mean you were wrong with God? No. It means that the enemy's going to come and fight you, doesn't it? But how many of you have found that God will stand with you? God will be with you no matter what the situation. No matter what the circumstance, God will stand with you. All right. So David is in a situation to where his dad calls him. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 17, 16 through 18. Let me read this right quickly for you, okay? And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented himself for 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. That's where I got my subject text, where he says, see how your brothers are. I want you to take them bread, but I want you to see how they are. And I believe there's a parallel. There's two things there. There's that I've found. Jesse's going to send David to the camp to see how his brothers are and to take them food. Our Heavenly Father sent His Son to check on us and to bring us food, didn't He? How many of you know He really did? For God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. So Jesse sends David down to the host of Israel. And they are there, and he sees his brothers. David's just there innocently. Have you found out that sometimes you can be innocent and still get in trouble? Have you found out you can be innocent with family and get in trouble? He goes there, and his brother Eliab, his oldest brother, says, what are you doing here? Why aren't you out there tending that few little sheep, making fun of him, jealous of him? David kind of comes back, is there not a cause, my friend? I'm not going to get down because of that. He's telling him, I'm here. I've got a reason for being here. I just come to bring food. I've come to bring bread to feed y'all. And all I want to do this morning is hopefully and prayerfully is feed anyone that's hungry, encourage the body of Christ. That's all. That's all I'm here for this morning. How are you today? Did you come hungry? I tell you what, there's some food in the Word of God. There's food here for you today to encourage you to say, hey, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. God is on your side. If God be for us, who be against us? So David's down there. We know what the score is. He finally ends up, goes over there and says to David, to the king, hey, y'all not going to fight him? I'll fight him. And you can't fight the enemy with the tools that they have. We don't fight with flesh and blood. We fight with the Spirit of God, don't we? So here David was. He said, I'm going to do the things that I think is necessary. All right, do we have the next point that we have? He took bread. Now, I've been a few places. How many of you have ever been to Israel? Anybody? Okay. How many of you nearly starved when you were there? I was talking to the pastor, you know, they went a year or two ago. And when you're there, their food is so different. And so you'd give anything to get a hamburger. You really would. When my wife and I were there, and this was a long, long time ago, we'd get $5 for a hamburger. Well, today you can't even get one for that. But back then, you could. But we did find out there's all kinds of breads, didn't we? There's breads all kinds. And bread is very important throughout the world. And so here we are in this. Jesus said unto them, in John 6 and 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is after Jesus had taken and we know what he had done. He had multiplied a lad's lunch. A lad had come and followed them. He had stopped by Kroger, and there at Kroger, he had picked up some loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And you know, some bread is just hard. It's so hard you can knock somebody out with it. Some is so soft you could lay it down on it like a pillow. There's just all kinds of bread. But there's bread, and there's bread, and there's bread. But all through the world, it's a sustenance that people use that they want it. Wherever you go, it's bread. My wife and I, we found that in Israel, we could eat the bread. There wasn't a whole lot else, but we ate the bread. So Jesus says unto them, I am the bread of life. What I want you to know today is that if you're here hungry, if you're here sick, you're lonely, you're depressed, you're fearful, you're discouraged, you're financially challenged, you have situations in your life that you're having a hard time handling, then Jesus wants you to know he's the bread of life. He's the one that will sustain you. He's the one that will keep you. He's the one that will take care of you. Don't give up. Just as you think you're about to throw in the towel, there's a piece of bread that's going to be offered to you. Remember, they said, what's this among so many? With Jesus' hands upon it, it's a whole lot. When Jesus touches it, it's okay. When he touches your life, everything's going to work out. Amen? Thank you very much. My wife said, well, hon, are you going to be able to preach 30 minutes? I said, well, the pastor told me that we let out at 12. He said I could preach as long as I wanted to, but the people left at 12. Now I want to get over to where it says, now I am old. Have we got that one? How many qualify? Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm not by myself. All right. And they tell me the baby boomers are somewhere from, what, 45, 46 to 60, 61, something like that. Now, how many of them qualify? Okay. Now, they also call us the metallic age. You know what the metallic age is, don't you? We got silver in our hair, gold in our teeth, and lead in our feet. And that's the truth, isn't it? When you get old, things change. And they're supposed to. They're supposed to change. In Romans 4, 1 through 3, I want to read this for you. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh had found? For if Abraham were justified by the works, he hath whereof to glory, but not for, before God. And for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. I guess one of the most difficult things for me, I don't know about any of you, but for me, was in my earlier years, I wanted to make myself right with God. If I don't do this, I'll be right with God. But then I found out, well, maybe I don't do this, I'll be right with God. How many of you found out there's never enough don't do this? There's never an end. Never an end. I'm not giving a license to go out and sin, but I'm saying we'll never be good enough to be good enough for God. The only way I become good enough for God is to let God be good enough for me. I have to be righteous in God. And the only way I can be righteous is in Jesus Christ. God considered Abraham. When Abraham was 75 years old, he saw a leaflet that said, there's a church in McKinney for you. I want you to go to it, Abraham. He said, why? He said, because they're going to tell you what to do. What? You just go over there, Abraham. They're not of the new sort. They're still old. They sing old songs. You hear good old-fashioned preaching, and you feel the wonderful Spirit of God. You really do. And Brother Mike can make that piano talk. He sure can. But Abraham, this is what I want you to know, is that at 75, I'm going to make you the father of nations, many nations. And you see the stars? You can't count them. That's where you're... Yeah, sure, God. 75. Well, things rock along. At 100, him and Sarah have a baby boy. Now, folks, at 75, I don't want another, do you? I love my daughters. I love my granddaughters. I'm looking forward to great-grandchildren, but I don't want another of my own. Woo, that's right. Amen. So God told him, I'm going to give you one. And at 100, Sarah bore the son called Isaac. And here he is, a child of promise. He grows up for a few years. There's a knock at the door. Who is it? It's God. Abraham? Yes, sir. I got news for you. I want to take back that son I gave you. Well, God, you promised me. Abraham, I want that son I gave you. Okay, God. I want you to take him to a place I'll show you. Abraham told his servants to go with him. He loaded up the donkeys with wood, and he got Isaac. They went 3 days' journey. He told the servants to stay to the side. He told Isaac, all right, let's go. Isaac looked at him. He said, Dad, we got firewood. We're going up there to make a sacrifice to God. Where's the sacrifice? Don't you love what he said? He said, my son, God will provide. Hallelujah, folks. We're 75 or whatever old you are out there tonight. I'm still telling you, God's going to provide. Whatever your need is today, trust God. If you want to be righteous, God is our righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Little did Abraham know, as he trudged up one side of that mountain, something else was trudging up the other side of that mountain. When you're going up one mountain and you're struggling, you don't know that the answer's coming up the other side of that mountain. I'm working hard, God. I'm trying, but I don't see the answer. No, but it's coming, friend. I'm telling you today, if you're out there and you're trying to figure out something, the answer's coming the other way. You don't see it yet, but it's on the way. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm sharing this with, but let me tell you what. I've been praying about this for 3 weeks. How are you today? That's my only question. People walked past me that Sunday morning, and they said they were fine. But when that sister came by and I shook her hand, she said, I'm fine, but I knew she wasn't. I stopped her. If you came to church this morning, you can say, I'm fine. And if you are, that's wonderful. But if you're not, if you're struggling with something, give it to God today. You've come to your Mount Moriah this morning. You've come to it. This morning, let it go and let God bring something up on that other side of that mountain and say, yes, here's the sacrifice. I'm giving it for you today. We're going to have victory in your life this morning. Abraham built the sacrifice, did all that he had to do. He believed that if he were to go ahead and slay his son, God could raise him from the dead. He was that sold on faith in God. He had that knife raised, and God stopped him. And when God stopped him, it's amazing. He got 20/20 vision. I don't have it, do any of you? I have to wear these or whatever. All of a sudden, he looked over there, and there was the answer that had come up on the other side of the mountain. A ram caught in a thicket. He took his boy down. He went and got the ram, and he offered it as a sacrifice unto God. Today, God is telling us, he's telling us here at Heritage Church. He said, folks, how are you? All you've got to do is have faith in God. God wants to help you this morning. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you just thank God today? Here's what Philippians 4 and 19 says, but my God, and that's not up there, my God shall supply a portion of your needs, a quarter of your needs, half your needs. My God shall supply all. Woo! Hallelujah! My God shall supply all of your needs. Folks, I'm telling you, all of your needs. According to, not me, but His riches. His riches in glory. I told you this is a testimonial sermon. It's not academic. I've been there. I trust Him. Many of you have been there. You've trusted Him. David said, I once was young. Now I'm old. Yet have I not seen. The NIV says it never. I have never seen. Any of you, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. The righteous are those that have taken the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ, and they have brought him into their life, and he makes me righteous. Therefore, I shall never be forsaken. David didn't say I wouldn't have battles. But you know what? He was saying this after he had had horrible times in his life, difficult battles in his life. But he would stand up in this psalm and he would say on a Sunday morning, hey, y'all, that's a Texas vernacular. He'd say, hey, y'all, your God is on your side. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Sometime we just need to stop and remember. We need the academic to remember where it all came from. But we need to remember also, folks, how many of us, you know that we got a whole lot more in the rear view mirror than we got in the windshield. If you don't grasp that, I'm saying we're old. So time's marching on. How are you today? You all right with God? Say praise the Lord. Thank you for letting me share my heart with you today. Thank you for being so responsive to the Word of God. I'm going to close with just one thing. I got up here a while back in the morning, went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, let out a scream. Some of you know my wife, Judy. I said, Judy! She jumped out of bed and run to the bathroom. Well, I need to rephrase that. She slowly got out of the bed. She shuffled into the bathroom. And she said, what is it? I said, who is that in the mirror? She said, it's you. Have we found the truth from the proverbial writer? Life is faster than a weaver's shuttle. Yesterday I was 20. Today I'm 76. Where did it go? I don't know. But what I know is, He is faithful. He is faithful. Lift your hands and thank Him for being faithful today. God is faithful to all of us. Hallelujah. God is faithful to all of us. Hallelujah. God is faithful to us.